I wonder if you remember a television advert for The Guardian in the 1980s. It was called Skinhead. Do you remember this? No. Okay, I'll tell you all about it. Lovely. It was called Skinhead because it was to do with a man who was a skinhead. And it was all about seeing things from a different perspective. And the short film starts with a skinhead pulling away from a car. You can just about see the car in the background there. And he's running towards a young lady. And so you're very much thinking in your mind, what is happening here? But then the perspective changes. And you see the man, the skinhead, running towards a well-to-do man with a suitcase. And from that perspective, you think that the well-to-do man with the bowler hat on is going to be mugged. Do you think that's what's going to be happening here? But then the perspective changes again, and the camera zooms out, and what we actually see happen is that the skinhead sees that there is a pile of bricks that's about to land on the well-to-do man's head. And actually, he's running towards him because he's going to push him out the way to save the man's life. It's a little short sequence, a wee short film about differences in perspective. Because when you see a skinhead, you think they're going to be up to no good. Whereas actually, this man saved the well-to-do man's life. Now, the whole point of the advert was to show that there is often more than one perspective. And sometimes we don't have the full picture, or the picture that we see is a distorted picture. And sometimes it's very much the case in our lives, isn't it, that we cannot see the wood for the trees. Sometimes that's the case in our lives, isn't it? We're so consumed by a problem. That often happens in our lives, doesn't it? We can only see the problem. We can't see beyond it. We can't see the big picture. Sometimes that happens in our life. Now, the reason I wanted to start with that illustration today is because I think it's helpful when we're looking at a passage like the one that we read today in Matthew's Gospel. And in the passage that we read today, the main issue surrounds the place of the Sabbath. And of course, it was the part of the law, keeping the Sabbath day, it was part of the law that meant that no work was to be done on the Sabbath. And that of course had been long-standing in the land of Israel, hadn't it? Remember how the Israelites had wandered in the desert, as we were explaining to the children, during the time of Moses, after being freed from slavery. And remember how the Lord provided manna every day for the Israelites to eat? Well, every day that is, apart from the Sabbath day, when if the people went out to look for something, there was nothing to gather. And on the day before, on the Friday, the Israelites were actually to gather twice as much so that they could have a day of rest on the Sabbath day. And so the Sabbath day has a long history. It is, of course, one of the Ten Commandments to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And of course, in the Ten Commandments, it's pointed out as a creation ordinance, because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so the Sabbath day and keeping it holy was really important. It was really important in Israel at the time of Jesus. But in keeping the Sabbath, it appears that the lots of extra laws had been created, and lots of different rules, as to what should be done on the Sabbath day and what shouldn't be done on the Sabbath day, and what constituted work. And so, we see in the passage that we read today, and we see in this passage, at the beginning of our reading, the disciples of Jesus out in the fields, and they are hungry. And because they are hungry, they decide to pick ears of corn, and they eat them. And this obviously becomes known, and the Pharisees, who saw this as work, this was reaping on the Sabbath day, and they declared it as unlawful. And so that's the first thing. The Pharisees think this is terrible. The disciples are working on the Sabbath day. And then we see the second story in Matthew chapter 12, where we see Jesus healing a man's hand on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees also see this as work, and they see this as unlawful. Now, what are we to make of all this kind of Sabbath breaking today, this law breaking, as the Pharisees would see it? Is it right that Jesus and the disciples are breaking the law, or is there something deeper that's going on here? And what I want to suggest to you this morning is that the Pharisees cannot see the wood for the trees. They cannot see the big picture. They're so taken up with their petty laws and their own power that they're missing what is fundamental. And crucially, they are missing who Jesus is. So let's have a wee look at each situation in turn before having a think about how this applies to us this morning. So in our first situation, we see the Pharisees accusing Jesus' disciples of doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath by picking and eating ears of corn, which would be seen as reaping on the Sabbath day. Now, what's Jesus' response to what the Pharisees are saying? Well, firstly, he points to a situation in the Old Testament. And he points to a situation where King David is running away from King Saul. And David and his companions are hungry, and so they go into the temple and they eat the consecrated bread, something that only the priests were allowed to do. And they do it. They do something that would be seen as unlawful. But clearly David and his companions are not condemned for their actions. Why? Because actually the bigger picture is in view. They were hungry. It was an act of mercy that was happening on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus says, look, there is a precedent for this. The second situation concerns the priests who are on duty on the Sabbath day, and who by being on duty are effectively working on the Sabbath day and therefore breaking the Sabbath law. And yet again, Jesus points out, look, they are not condemned. Why? Because the bigger picture is in view and they are declared innocent. And Jesus follows these two examples by then pointing to himself, because something greater than the temple is here, i.e. he's pointing to his own divinity and his own authority. As he says later, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And then comes the key thing, where Jesus quotes a verse from the Old Testament, from Hosea chapter 6, where the Lord says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And that's the key thing in this story, isn't it? This is what the Pharisees miss. You see, they're so busy looking out at people and thinking, oh, look, they've broken the Sabbath day. Look, they're reaping. Oh, look, you can't surely heal a man on the Sabbath. They're so busy straining a gnat, as Jesus says elsewhere, that they swallow a camel, because they don't see the bigger picture. They don't see that the intent of the law is to serve God's people, not for people to serve the law. And the Sabbath is not fulfilled by the scrupulous observance of the Pharisees, but in living out the intent and motive of the Sabbath, which was designed to bring rest. And this all comes out in a clearer way in the second incident, doesn't it, that happens here. In the second incident, Jesus goes into the synagogue. And as he goes into the synagogue, he comes across a man with a shriveled hand. Now, strictly according to the Pharisees, because the man with the shriveled hand, his life wasn't threatened, therefore the man shouldn't be healed on the Sabbath. It could be left to another day. That's really what should have happened according to the Pharisees. But Jesus points out the inconsistencies in the Pharisees' position. Because he says to them, look, you're happy to lift out a sheep that's fallen into a pit on the Sabbath. The, The Pharisees were allowed to do that. Okay, so if a sheep was found in a pit, fallen into a hole, they were allowed to pull it out on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, well, look, you're able to do that on the Sabbath. You're declaring that, so okay. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? That's Jesus' point. Therefore, says Jesus, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You see, what had happened with the Pharisees is that they'd lost perspective. They'd been so focused on the law that they'd forgotten the purpose of the law. They'd forgotten that the law was for the good of those who observed it. That it wasn't meant to be a burden upon the people. And because they were so focused on the law, and because it was really for them about outwardly conforming rather than what was in their heart, they're totally blind to what Jesus is doing and all this pointed Jesus to be. You see, if you think about it, in this passage this morning, what happens in verses 13 and 14 and the contrast between them is astonishing. Because Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and says, look, how much more valuable is a human than a sheep? And he reaches out his hand and he heals the man with the shriveled hand. Right in front of the Pharisees' eyes, he does this amazing miracle. And you would think that confronted by this miracle, that the Pharisees would at least pause and think about this miracle and all that it meant and who it signified Jesus to be. But they don't. They're so blind to what Jesus has done, so taken up with their own sense of righteousness, that they completely miss the point, don't they? And instead of trusting in Jesus, after they see a display of his divine power, what do? They plot to kill him. That's astonishing, is it not? Absolutely astonishing. There is Jesus in the synagogue. There's a man with a shriveled hand. He heals the man. Imagine what a change that had made in that man's life. You can imagine that other people thinking, that's incredible. What a miracle. What did the Pharisees do? You did it on the Sabbath, Jesus. Therefore, we're going to kill you. Astonishing, isn't it? When you think about that contrast, they completely miss the point. All they see is the law breaking. They don't see the miracle. They don't see who it points towards Jesus being. The very Son of God. The Messiah. No wonder when Jesus knows that they are plotting to kill him. And knowing that now is not his time, that Jesus withdrew from that place. And he carried on his ministry. And he tried to make sure that those others he healed did not tell others around them. You see, when we look at this story, we also must be careful that we're not blind to who Jesus is, because he doesn't conform to our expectations or live up to our supposed standards. We must be careful that we don't lose perspective and we're so focused on something that we lose the bigger picture of who Jesus is. And we must be careful that we aren't such sticklers for the law, that we lose what the spirit of the law is. And we forget that the Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, we all have our own personal things, don't we, that we think should be upheld. But we have to be careful that by upholding them, we're not losing perspective on what God is truly doing or God is truly saying. You see, the Pharisees were bogged down by tradition. They couldn't see beyond it. It was all about, you know, let's keep all these little laws, and oh, it's terrible if we break any of them. Couldn't see the big picture. And we have to be careful that we don't do the same, exalting the outward forms and ways of doing something, but forgetting the reason why we're doing it. The Lord's Supper that we're about to share in is a prime example, where often we can be so concerned by the form that it takes that we forget the spiritual meaning of what communion is all about. Sometimes we're like, oh, we've got to do it in a certain way and do it in a certain thing. But when Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples, what were the disciples doing? They were lying around a table. If we want to go back to the original, that's what we should be doing. We should all be lying in front of their table this morning, a low table. We sometimes get lost in tradition, don't we? And forget what it's all about. That it's about the internal, it's about the spiritual. You see, the verses that are quoted from verse 42 at the end of our passage are so appropriate, aren't they? Because the Pharisees don't get it. But to those who see with spiritual eyes, Jesus is the one who's been chosen. The one whom God loves and in whom God delights. And in Jesus' name, the nations will put their hope. And so I simply ask you today, what about you? Are you a Pharisee? When you search your heart this morning, are you a Pharisee? Not seeing the wood for the trees? Not truly seeing who Jesus is? More concerned about the outward form, about things looking good, rather than what's in the heart? You see, it's not religion that's important. And going through the motions. It's having a living, an active relationship with Jesus that makes a difference in our lives. You see, Christianity is not about being a good person. It's not about coming to church every week and putting your envelope in. It's not about any of these things. It's about trusting in Jesus and saying, Lord God, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner who can only be saved by your grace. And in Jesus, you've given me a Savior. Because Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one who died on the cross for my sake. That I might come into your very presence. And therefore I come to worship. And I give my offering to you in thankfulness for all that you have done. It comes from the overflow of a grateful and a thankful heart. It's having a living and active relationship with Jesus that makes a difference in our life. You see, when you look at Scripture, and when you see Jesus teaching and healing, do you find your heart moved? And do you declare, as Thomas did, right at the time of the resurrection, my Lord and my God, Jesus, I understand who you are. I understand all that you have done. You see, may we be a people whose eyes are open to Jesus. May we be a people who have soft hearts, more concerned about mercy than sacrifice. May we be a people of the big picture, who have the proper perspective. And as we have that proper perspective, may we be a people who truly honor the Lord. Let's just have a moment of quiet together and then we will pray. Loving Lord God, as we think over our lives, we do recognize that like the Pharisees, we can sometimes fall back into legalism. We can think that Christianity and faith is all about being a good person or doing the right thing. We can be so focused on the outward form that we forget that actually it's about what's happening inwardly. Lord God, as we come before you, we recognize that we are sinners. Sinners who need your grace. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us a Savior in Jesus. And that when we believe and trust in him, then the old is gone and the new has come. We are a new creation in him. That we are born again. And we pray, Lord God, as we know that this is the reality in our lives, that we might be people who honor you, who glorify your name out of the overflow of a grateful heart. Lord God, we recognize that each one of us can fall back into having petty concerns over the way things are done, over the form of things. But Lord God, we pray that you would give us proper perspective, that we might see the big picture, and that we might understand that you're a God who desires mercy, not sacrifice. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your word this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.